Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus, on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello, after another week off.
I know, man, we're turning into a two-week podcast, two weeks bi-weekly.
Slip and slide.
It's rough. All right, we got a couple quotes today. I'm going to start us off with a particularly special one, one of our favorites, and then Devin will follow up. Here we go. So you gonna tell me that you don't have no black cats, no Roman candles, or screaming memes? Oh, come on, man. You got no lady fingers, fuzz butters, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers? No, I don't. You gonna stand there owning a fireworks stand and tell me you don't have no whistling bung holes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, hunky lighters, Hosker do's, Hosker don'ts, cherry bombs, Nipsey dazers, with or without the scooter stick, or a single whistling kitty chaser? No, because snakes and sparklers are the only ones I like. Well, that might be your problem. It's not what you like, it's the consumer.
Classic. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Happy 4th of July. That's what we love here in America. Fireworks and apple pie. All right, what do you got?
In honor of Michael Madsen, did you hear?
No.
He passed away.
Michael Madsen. Which one's Michael Madsen? The actor?
Yeah, here, I'll give you one of his famous lines. You ready?
All right, okay.
That woman deserves her revenge, and we deserve to die. But then again, so does she, so I guess we'll just see, won't we? That's from
bum, bum. Kill Bill.
Yeah, Kill Michael Bill Madsen.
That Michael Madsen. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, I think he was like Sidewinder, and that was his name. And
oh yeah,
you know, he's in that, and obviously like all the other great.
Right.
Yeah, he died.
Dang, crazy. He's probably not that old, right?
60s or something. Almost 60. I think he's like 57, 58.
Almost 60. That's crazy.
Poor guy.
I know, man. Can you imagine? It's like, you know what we got. Like,
I can't imagine.
Like 15 more, 20 more years?
Yeah.
I cannot imagine. Oh, yeah. Well, that's such a shame. I like Michael.
I mean to bring the party down, but I know, right? I love that. I love that line. And I love the way that one, they did it in, remember, that's all he was in that first movie was that line sitting there, you know?
Nice. Yeah.
Right. And you just hear the beginning of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you just hear the first half of it. That woman deserved her revenge, and we deserve to die. That's all he shows. Mm-hmm. And in the second version, you see the whole talk where Bill comes and tries to get him.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, but then again, so does she. Like, She's done a lot of fucked up shit too.
Yeah, I love that. He's like, you know, it's all this. She's like super, you know, like awesome martial artists and like all good at controlling everything. And then she just like walks into the thing. He's just sitting there blasts her with the rock saw in her chest. It's so like perfect. He's just like, I'll just sit here with a gun until you open the door.
Right. Blast her. And he tells Bill that he pawned the Hattori Hanzo sword.
Yeah, right. You pawned
it. Like, you pawned it. It's priceless. He's like, not in Arizona. It's not. It's worth $250.
that's great.
My gosh. But then it turns out you see it sitting in the mobile home, and then that's what
what's her name comes for.
Beatrice Kiddo.
Bell Driver. And she come and take it from him. And then,
no, she doesn't know it's there because he also says I sold it or something. Remember then, what's her name? The bride finds it. She sees it and then fights back, which is a really cool scene. And, and Kill Bill 1's definitely the better movie, but 2's interesting as well. But there's a few, you wish there were a few more big blowout fights, but the first one's so good, like you can't top it.
Yeah, one of my favorite scenes in that is when they introduce Lucy Liu's character as like the head of the what's it called, the Yakuza.
Yakuza.
And they're like, you know, she's like sitting at the table, and one guy like one guy like screams at her for being like half, you know, American, half Japanese, and she runs over and cuts his head off, and she's like, she's like to explain the severity of the situation, I'm going to speak in English. She switches over to English.
Now, at any time, I encourage you, But the topic of subject, my half American, half Japanese heritage.
Except for that one. Yeah. If any of you motherfucking bitches has anything else to say, now's the fucking time. I love that scene. Oh, man. She's so, like, she's so hot and so badass in that scene. I'm like, yes.
She's
all right. Yeah. And I also love that like whole crazy 88 scene. That's fun.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it is.
I mean, yeah.
Probably my favorite action movie of all time. Even though he steals a lot. That's what Tarantino does, because he is a movie file. So he's seen everything, and he just takes scenes. But it's done so well that what can you do? You can't.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and it becomes its own thing, just like any band. If you like whoever, you know.
Yeah.
They steal riffs and stuff, and it just becomes its own thing. And but he's also a great writer, so you can't take that from him. Even though he may steal a scene style.
Right, right.
He still writes interesting dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about dialogue. It's all like visuals and dialogue, and obviously that's movies, but you know.
He's the man.
Yeah.
There were definitely some film school people that poo-pooed on him a little bit because of that.
Right.
But that's fair. Like,
yeah, of course. It's something to complain about.
Yeah, you go to any specific like art school, they're going to pick on the main big guys just because it's commercial.
Right.
Like, actually, that scene was done here. I'm like, what doesn't matter?
Yeah.
It's still really, really good. And it hits all the beats and the feels that you needed to hit.
And it's actually, I mean, for the average Joe, like, I would say, 90% of people who watch those movies have no idea that he's pulling from other movies, you know? So he's just, like, he's, like, taking all this awesome, you know, scenes and like, camera angles and composition and stuff, and he's, like, bringing it back, you know, putting it into like current day as a nod to it, but in a way that people are like enjoying it with the new dialogue and, you know, like modernizing it, you know. So he's doing something that most people don't even realize.
Which everyone does. And all the greats they steal from the greats. It's just kind of, you know, and the age old thing, like no one's original.
Right, exactly.
And a lot of them will tell you like, oh, I ripped that off from this, or I definitely stole this type of thing. Like, oh, that shot, the way this is done. So,
yeah.
Some people do it more blatantly, but everyone can do it. And some people just, I mean, they're still not making great films. So,
right, yeah.
Quentin Tarantino makes great films, no matter what you think. Speaking of, actually not great, real quick. I saw F1 two nights ago.
Oh, okay. Is that the one with Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I
okay.
I don't know.
You were expecting it to be better.
I don't know what hoping. I was expecting. I was hoping, because it's the guy who did Maverick.
Oh, right on.
So he, like, I appreciate that he did a lot of, like, in-the-car stuff. You can tell, like, they had some type of setup. Like, it all looked really good. All the racing scenes did look great.
Yeah.
But it wasn't amazing, but it was definitely cool. It was good to watch, and we went to the theater where the chairs actually move, which was weird.
Oh, crazy.
Like, I've been to a theater before where it, like, rumbled, but this one actually moved with the, you know,
where was that? Where'd you go?
I was at Towson, AMC.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was all right. There was a, like, intensity button, so you could kind of do it where it kind of moved you left and right, and then, like, three was, like, you're bouncing. Like, you're... So that was kind of fun to do in the race scenes, you know? Yeah. I don't know how else it would be well used. Like, how you could do that in, like, a rom-com. I guess they wouldn't put a rom-com in there, but, like, a horror movie. How's it going to, like, shake you left and right? But a racing movie, I guess, is perfect for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So...
Yeah, you can imagine, right? Like, something like Jurassic Park or something where there's a bunch of action, a bunch of moving around, and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah.
That's cool. But it didn't... I guess it was all right. I mean, the ticket was got a deal from a buddy. It was like $5, so it didn't really cost anything. Oh, get this. So I went before it. I met up with a friend because we had like an hour.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, let's get a drink and an appetizer or something somewhere. And all those buildings around AMC that were like newly put there, all those restaurants, they're all gone.
What?
It's a ghost town, that whole area.
Oh, you mean like they're... The buildings are there.
They're right. The restaurants are all gone.
Dang.
So, but the normal ones in Towson, you know, on the York Road or whatever, near the circle, are all there. Like, whatever, Green Turtle and the Kent Irish. Well, that's where we went. We went to the Irish pub place and did a Guinness during the day. Not during the day. It was 5 o'clock. So I guess it was dinner time.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it was happy hour time. It cost $8 for a Guinness.
Jeez.
$8 draft.
Dude, that's crazy.
I didn't know if I would have known. But, you know, I sat down at Irish Pub and then they had Guinness on draft. So that's, cool. I get a Guinness. And then, everything else apparently was on happy hour. So I got like a Trogues Perpetual for like $4.
Oh, man.
I was like, shit, I would have done two of those if I'd known.
Yeah, right.
You know, two of those is the price of a Guinness.
Man, we used to pay $14 for a pitcher at Guinness back in 2002.
Guinness was a quarter. But anyway, I got off.
That was the more expensive pitchers we'd get. Usually it was either Yingling or Killian's for $12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Guinness for $14. Yeah. Step it up.
There you go.
Nicole and I watched a movie the other night. Called the hold on 1 second, I just had it up and I'll The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, which is a Wes Anderson movie, came out in 2023. It's only 39 minutes long, but it's based off a Roald Dahl book. And it's really cool. Like, you know, it's obviously like the Wes Anderson look and like the people talking to the camera and like, you know, the whole kind of breaking the fourth wall thing. But also, it was filmed very much kind of almost like a stage performance where there were like sets and people were like walking in and out and a lot of flat stuff and stuff.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was fun. We were like kind of looking for something to watch because Corinne is at pre-college.
That's
for 2 weeks. So,
can you go to pre-college when she's a freshman or sophomore?
She just finished her freshman year. They just changed the age. So they changed it from a year requirement to an age requirement. Hmm. So the age requirement now is 15. So Corinne is 15 and she just finished. Like she'll be 16 in September, but she just finished her freshman year. Which typically people at 15 would be finishing their sophomore year, or like, you know, 15, 16 is usually your sophomore year. But Corinne, she's, we kept her back in kindergarten, so she's like the oldest one in her class now. So she'll be 16 right at the start of her sophomore year, and then she'll be 18 at the start of her senior year. So she'll be 18 her whole senior year. But yeah, so they changed it this year to being that you had to be 15.
Nice.
So she applied and she got in. You know, she had to apply with a portfolio, and you know, it was pretty like, I think, I forget how many pieces it was, but it was, you know, it was competitive. She got a scholarship, and yeah, she's there for 2 weeks. So we dropped her off on Sunday, and yeah, she's just finishing up her first week of, well, tomorrow will be her first week of class. And yeah, she seems like she's having fun.
Do pre-college students hang out with real students at all?
Well, there are no college students there at summertime.
Ah, this is true. I guess you'll hang out with
Seniors. So, I mean, there's like, I don't know, like 200 pre-college students there, you know. So they're all there together. They're staying in the area that's like what was called the Commons when we were there. But there's a new building behind it called Leek Hall, and it's still within, like, when you go into that housing area, it's all gated. So, you know, there's like, since in the middle of Baltimore City, it's all gated. You have to go in through the gatehouse to get in, and there's the building behind it. They have included in that gated area, so you can kind of go through the Commons to the back area, where the back lot that has a big building that's newer called Leek Hall. So they're on Leek Hall.
I have such good memories of all that.
Yeah,
but it's funny. It's running parallel to you. You know, your memories of being there and going there. Like, I remember dropping you off. I didn't drop. Mom and Dad dropped you off to college. Dropped you off, but even though I guess you were coming home.
Yeah.
No, you stayed there. No, right. We moved you in.
Right.
And really, you know, it's such a... I think, was I in 8th grade or 9th?
You would have been going into 9th grade when I was going into... into my freshman.
So it was such a crazy thing.
I know, right?
But didn't you guys have sombreros? Like
15 or something, right?
Do you remember that? Sombreros?
Maybe. Yeah.
I remember being like, this place is nuts.
Kind of. Yeah, right. It's like art college and everything.
Kind of
like...
freak town did we drop him off of?
Good luck, Nelson. Good luck. Yeah, man. That was great.
Bunch of weird, but it was cool. Like, I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is what you want to, this is where you want to be. All these, you know, crazy art students. It was great.
Yeah, right. It's like, it's like fun and exciting and interesting and not like normal, you know.
It's like different. That was great. And then after we finished and I was, you know, getting out of high school, and then we would all hang out at your apartment. That was right across from there. And we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
On the rooftops.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Shooting water balloons and stuff. Freshman dorms. Yeah, it was fun walking through there and kind of telling Corinne stories about, because we drove in the parking lot, which goes around the side of the Commons, and then we, like, you know, unloaded and took her up to her room and stuff. And it was fun because Kate was there, our friend Kate, because she's part of the chain of command when it comes to the youth stuff at MICA. And so she was there as kind of like the top problem solver, you know, if anything comes up or a student is supposed to be flying in from somewhere and took the wrong cab somewhere, you know, like, so, but it was cool because she was there and she had her camera, and she came up and she was hanging out with us, and then we all went up to Corinne's room together and helped her get settled in. And my in-laws were in town, so they were there as well. So Betsy and Dave were with us, which was fun. But we went around the outside, so we didn't actually go through the Commons, but then we went and took a walk around campus, and then came back and came through the gatehouse of the Commons and into the Commons. And there wasn't anybody there at the time. So we just kind of walking through, and Nicole and I were pointing out like where we stayed. And I told Corinne the story of when I, the first time that I asked Nicole to like go out on a quote unquote date was, when she was like, I went to her apartment one evening to see where she was. She wanted to go out with me to go. So I was going out, like Charles and I were going to go, out to Red Brick Station at White Marsh, the avenue.
Nice.
And so I was like, oh yeah, I'll see if Nicole wants to come. Like, because we had been hanging out a little bit, and like, she's just fun and easygoing, and I was like, cool, you know, this like cute girl. Let me see if she wants to go. So I went to her apartment, and she wasn't there, but her roommates were like, oh yeah, she's at Ben's apartment, which is another friend of ours. So I was like, okay, cool.
Son of a bitch.
So I went over to Ben's apartment, knocked on the door, and they like opened the door, and she was sitting on the couch, and this other guy, and I can't remember his name, was sitting on like a rolly desk chair, and he had a like a cast on. He had broken his ankle or something, or sprained his ankle, like skateboarding, you know. And so she was there, and then I was like, hey, what's up, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey, you want to come out with me tonight? Like, I'm going to go get dinner with a buddy of mine. You know, do you want to come? He's a fun guy. I think it'd be fun for you to meet him. And so she was like, okay. So she just like left with me, and then I didn't realize, I didn't know until later that she was like kind of at the beginning of seeing this other guy. Like, they had been hanging out a little bit here and there, you know? And, so that it wasn't Ben. Ben's a friend of ours, but there was the other guy who had a broken ankle. So she was there kind of like hanging out with him because he couldn't walk around. And so she was just chilling with him, and I went and took her away. She never went back. Like, never saw that. Blood. Never. That's right. It's funny because at the time I had no idea that that was happening. Like, I completely went in, like, you know, like completely innocent. You know, it wasn't like, sure, I wasn't trying to be, you know, like, I wasn't trying to steal her away. I was just looking for her. Cause
that poor guy.
I know, man. He's like, damn. I was like, I said that the other night. So yesterday was Nicole and my 20th anniversary.
Congrats.
20 years. And we were having the conversation about that. And I was like, man, can you imagine being that dude sitting in that apartment? And I just come over and I'm like, ask you to leave. And you just leave. And he's just there by himself. And you just walk out. Like, he's in the apartment, sitting there on the chair. She gets up, leaves with me. We close the door. Like, what's going through his mind? He's like,
and what was your other friend? Bob? Bill? What was that?
Ben. Ben Turner. I don't remember if he was there.
Ben probably turned and looked at that guy like, dude,
you got punked.
Damn. You didn't say anything? I don't know. What am I supposed to say?
Yeah,
fucking right. Weird, long-haired hippie freak comes in. But yeah. Also, I guess it's not your defense. It's to get such a clear,
yeah,
like, this ain't happening.
Right.
She's not ghosting him. She's not, like, leading him on. It's like, oh, she just left. It almost takes, it definitely, for me, if it were me.
Yeah.
It takes it off you, just like, oh, that's just, she's obviously interested in this other person.
Right.
So much, though, so that she would just, like, get up. Roll and up. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay, I'm not, whatever he is, I'm not, for whatever reason. There's a million reasons.
Yeah.
It's almost so cut, you know, it's so clear that, like, yeah, oh, okay, right. Well, that one's gonna work anyway.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, well,
if there's no fight or anything, just like, yeah, sure, bye. You're like, ooh, all right, well, that's that.
I guess so. Yeah, right. No, like, she didn't like hesitate or anything. She was just like, okay, and went with me.
Yeah.
It was funny. So I was telling Corinne that story, and I showed her the apartment that it happened in. Mm. I was like, that was the guy Ben's. It's like, so Ben. Ben Turner actually was on the show Ace of Cakes. And Ben has, like, he and I were really good friends all throughout Micah. But yeah, so I showed her, I was like, there's Ben's apartment, da, 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 and I told her the story, and she was like, oh man, she's like, that's crazy that Charles was like around back then. I was like, well, yeah, Charles has been our, like, he's really good friend forever. Since Derek was a freshman, I guess that's when he met him, which would have been 94, you know, right. So. It was like, whatever, 6 years, 7 years before that we had met Charles. But yeah, it was fun because, you know, now obviously Corinne has a completely different relationship with Charles, being like on our sailing crew and sailing with him and growing up with him around and stuff, you know. Like,
sure.
It's fun. But it was cool, you know, reminiscing, walking through the commons and then, you know, dropping her off. And she had her own room and got her helped her get set up and walked around. It was fun. We walked down and went into the art supply store.
Oh, nice.
And as I walked in, my manager, who was there when I was there.
What?
The manager of the store, Carrie, Carrie Litz.
New job?
She was like, she's still there as the manager of the store. I walked in, she's like standing. I was like, holy crap, Carrie. And I gave her a hug and chatted a little bit. And then she was like, yeah, make sure, you know, you get your employee discount still. I was like, oh, cool, right on. She's like, yeah, 30%. I was like, sweet, you know. So it's like, because I know, you know, alumni and Micah employees get a 10%. No, you can just walk in and say, yeah, I'm going to Mike alumni, and they'll give you a 10% discount right off the bat. And any Mike employees get a 10% discount. But ex-bookstore employees get the bookstore employee discount. So it was fun. Whoa. So that, as we were there, like I only got like a three little things or whatever when I was there. But when we were heading out, Carrie goes, Corinne, she's like, make sure that when you come in, you say your name is Dustin O'Hara to get your dad's discount. I was like, nice. I was hell like, yeah. Sweet. So yeah, nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, got that was fun. Up. So it was cool to walk around and.
You're like, yeah, yeah, dad's hot shit around here.
Don't worry, Corinne was like, man, I'm like a serious Nepo baby up in here. You know, like, you're like she's got yeah, like, you she's take got, it. You know, Kate who works there, who's like ahead of all the like, you know, youth programs. Then she has her mom who works in the library.
So and use me, your power. Like,
I worked there for the years and good discount. And
yeah, you used this.
Yeah, she was like, my mother-in-law was like, oh man, you gotta like bring your friend, maybe Nicole, so I forget, somebody was like, yeah, bring your friends in, you can get discounts for all of them. I was like, whoa, hold like, on,
no,
I was
no,
like,
no,
don't take advantage of my power here.
Yeah, don't like, abuse the
don't
power.
Push it. Yeah, right, you want to lose all
you
this power,
you get the things you need and brag to your friends like how much you pay exactly. for those.
Well,
I get 30. If you really like them, you'll buy one extra paintbrush or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Don't be with bringing the whole crew in. You gotta be cool. Keep
responsibility,
it cool.
right?
Yeah, be cool, bro. Be cool.
Take it easy.
All right, so let's switch to 4th of July.
All right,
I'm sitting here next to a pile of fireworks.
Oh, all right.
Ran up the Phantom in PA 3 days ago. Real early, so it wasn't no one's there.
Yeah, you just like drop off Maeve and go up afterward or whatever.
Yep. Nice. Right after school, so it was 8:30. Or
dang,
I think it opens at 8, so I was like in there bright and early. No one's there. Actually, there was 10 or 20 people there.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, if right. you go 1 year, we did make the mistake of going on the 3rd of July and the line was insane. It was when Caitlin was pregnant.
Oh man.
And it was just, we're just like, this is, and so I think it's one of those things where you stood there for an hour and it moved like 30 feet. Just like, all right, you know, let's go to Walmart and get like the boring candles. Like,
yeah, right.
Sparklers. But this year, snakes. Grant and I went and we got a bunch of, I got the coupons in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
For like, you know, you get this set that's $200 for $75, and then if you get this and this, you get one of these for free.
So yeah, man, this, like, the deals are crazy. It's like buy one get two free, or right. you know,
and
buy
actually, four things, the, I, get four I found out the best deal. So if we ever want to do some type of super show, I don't know if it'll be next year, but the guy told me, he's like, look, if you become a member. The big deal is if you buy $800 worth of stuff, it costs you four.
Yeah, 50% off.
So you once you hit that big mark, which you can get some really heavy duty stuff, you know, for $800.
Oh yeah.
So you just split it with someone, really.
Yeah.
Then
right.
it's not bad, especially if it's a couple. If it's like, hey, all the brothers are doing something, we all pitch in $100 and we get
$800.
Exactly. You know, we're all watching the same show.
Yeah, right.
Then
yeah.
it will be insane. But anyway, nice. So I got a bunch of stuff this year. I have figured it out. Like years before, I was getting a bunch of things.
Right.
I want some Roman candles. I want this. Some dipsy do, dipsy don'ts. Like, I was doing all this stuff. Mortars. Yeah. But it was just like, I spent more time running around, like, figuring everything out. Like, I'll light one of these and do this. Like, I'm the main person who lights them at the at Caitlin's parents' house.
Right.
And then, like, it just went on too long. And it was a lot of just single things. You know? And you're like, all right, next.
Yeah.
So I did, like, the finale assortment. So everything. Nice. There's, like, you know, like 15 or 20 things that are all block of things.
Nice. Yeah.
So I'm just going to go down the line.
Just get a bunch of them.
Hit a bunch of blocks.
So each time you light it, it's like,
each one's like 10 or 16 shots. Bah, bah, nice. Bah, bah. Yeah. And then, so that's, I went simple.
Nice.
The in-laws gave me a whole bunch of money. They're like, yeah, it's basically like free reign. But it's like, no, I think I spent total is $120.
Nice.
Right for on. All, that's like, a, yeah. all the stuff.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And I was like, that's enough. Like, I don't want to spend more time shooting that, you know, all that stuff off anyway. So.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good one.
So you going tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, nice. And then we'll okay. be out, we'll be all at our parents yeah. the next night. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that will be fun. There's going to be a lot of people there. It's going to be cool. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
I have sparklers in the house.
Hot dog. Mm-hmm. Well, see, maybe there's some left. Well, actually, I know Dad spent a lot, and their neighbor bought some stuff. So
yeah.
If we're there long enough for the fireworks, well, I'm sure there'll be a good show.
Right.
Yeah. But hey, I'm not sitting alone, so I'll just sit there and have a beer and make fun of them if they're bad. I don't know.
Right. Exactly. Boo.
Yeah. So yeah. Any 4th of July memories?
I don't know. I was thinking about that because I know one year we did a Four Brothers 4th of July podcast, mm-hmm. which was fun. I was like, man, if we had thought about that, we could have done.
Was that in the smithy?
It was. Yeah, we sat outside. It was good. We could hear like the peepers and the fireflies. Yeah,
that was nice. Was that actually good. On 4th of July?
I don't remember. I think it may have been.
Was it?
Or it was close to it because I remember us hearing like fireworks off in the distance. Mm. So it could have been like, it was probably a weekend. It was probably a Saturday night or something or Friday night. But yeah, I mean, I've had some good, I remember there was one year that we all went to a fireworks show. This was when we were kids. And it was like getting dark and people were running around with, you know, like sparklers and stuff and glow necklaces and whatnot. And, I remember we were all playing with sparklers and there was a pond or something, you know, nearby, like between where we were going to be and where the fireworks are going to be shooting off. And it was getting kind of dark and people were waiting for the show to start. And I remember, I don't know if it was me or one of us, but somebody took one of the sparklers and like threw it up in the air, like really high up out over the pond.
Yeah.
And like the whole crowd cheered. They were like, "Yay!"
Yeah.
You know, I was like, "Yes!" That was like such a fun moment. I was like, "Oh man!" It reminded me of like, you know, George in the movie theater. He's like, "That's gotta hurt," you know. He was like living off of that adrenaline of everyone like cheering and laughing. And I was like, "Oh, it was great."
I have a lot of I have a lot of memories of us at those like.
Yeah.
Those big community meeting areas, wherever it was.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hey, we're all good. It's at this school. It's here. We park somewhere. We all walk like a mile.
Uh-huh.
We have a couple seats, and then we all run off. Right? Yeah, it's right. kind of this, like, freedom magical thing where we're just wandering around like a...
Yep,
all a school around. Baseball field or something, and there's things going off, and you're like... getting snacks and their sparklers. It was always, it was really, really nice.
Yeah.
I have a lot of great 4th of July memories.
It's like everyone's out, everyone's happy.
You know, we didn't do like cookouts. We would go to the things, we'd go to the places.
Yeah. We did do some like, we would go to 4th of July cookouts and stuff occasionally, but you know. But I don't remember it being like a 4th of July thing. It was always the fireworks was like the thing.
Yeah, it was just, you'd go somewhere to see the fireworks with everybody, and I guess there'd be food trucks and you'd get like a funnel cake and mom would have stuff with her, you know, and family friends or maybe my mom and pop or maybe just my mom.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was great, man. It was just like 4th of July is in, you know, is just a fun holiday. Mm-hmm. And just, it's funny cause you know, we are reliving the battle that like basically, you know, the bomb's bursting in air, like our national anthem is written about. And, you know, and that's what it is, but it is, it's just like a celebration of, you know, America and freedoms and what we fought to get where we are. And that all wraps up in just people getting together and having a good time and eating good food and drinking and
lighting the
fireworks.
Yeah. It's that thing where I saw a couple people, there's always a few people who are like poo-pooing it. Mm-hmm. But those are the same people that will poo-poo every holiday for some reason.
Yeah, right.
Like, just shut up and just, like, it's not totally all about that.
Right, yeah.
It is about that, but it's just about putting time aside with family and friends and doing something special.
Yeah. And also making
some memories. So don't, if you're not into whatever political thing that's going on at the moment or you're, you're one of those people who's embarrassed by your country or something like that. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be about that for you if you're so upset about something going on.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you can't just divorce that to the side and, like, enjoy yourself with the people you're around.
Right.
Like, just do that. If you're upset about something, then just go to the cookout or go watch fireworks. Like,
right. Exactly.
Don't be all butthurt and be like the, what's the SNL, Debbie Downer.
Downer. Yeah.
Don't be the Debbie Downer. Shut up. Like, yeah, we all got issues with stuff. Just shut up and have a burger and have a beer. Like,
we all get it. You know, like, if we all sat and thought about it, we could all have the conversation about how blah, blah, blah.
Should we
know,
be like, celebrating right now because there's this and this? Like, well, yeah, there's always something. Like, we should be celebrating because we're all here.
Right, exactly. We have the right to all get together and hang out and go sit in a field and drink, you know, whatever. Drink beers and eat food. Right.
It was fun when I was a kid, and now I got kids, and I want them to have fun doing the same stuff. That's all there is to it. Like, whatever you want to add on to it after that, like, it doesn't matter.
There's lots of American flags around, and, you know, it's like, it's a celebration of our country. And like, everyone having fun and enjoying the fact that we're all together, and we're all Americans, and, that's great. Yeah, I remember there was one year that Nicole and I, maybe, I guess Corinne was there too. Must have been. We were at the Hereford fireworks, which is a pretty good fireworks show. And they have a good, like, setup with this, like, hill and field and stuff. And the kids can all run around and play in the field. And then, you know, there's, like, ropes that rope off an area for seating and stuff. So usually we'll come back and sit during the show. And, it was like a couple years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and there were these big storm clouds that were kind of rolling over. So we knew that there was a chance of, like, thunderstorms, you know. And but, like, the show started, maybe it did, I don't know, maybe it was right before it or whatever. But we had brought our umbrellas. We had these, like, the big the $4 Home Depot umbrellas, you know, nice big black ones, like golf umbrellas.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we had two of those, and Nicole and I both had one, and then Grin didn't, but we just, like, sat down. We had our little picnic blanket, and we kind of folded it around us. So we were all sitting on the ground, and we had our two umbrellas up over the three of us, and it was like a 5-minute rainstorm. You know, as I came through, like, and everyone else is like, some people had umbrellas and stuff, and some people ran to, like, their cars and ran to trees and whatnot. But we just, like, sat there with our little umbrellas, and it, like, passed by, and we stayed, like, completely dry. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were, like, in a really good spot, you know, because then as, like, people were moving, we were, like, sliding up into, like, a really good front position. So then we had this, like, great position, and we were dry, and it was good time. And then it was kind of fun because there were these, like, billowy type of clouds that were floating by. So the fireworks would, like, light off, and they would reflect against the clouds. So it was really cool. So you got this, like, double reflection of the light and stuff. And
it
was fun.
Not a good. I have a, watch out. I have a, it's a firework. I guess maybe it might have been one of the 4th of July's, but one we used to, the good old days at Orioles.
Yeah.
When we had firework nights, we would, some of us in the crew, and it actually started from one of the guys on the crew. Who, I don't know where it came from, but he would, at the start of the fireworks, he'd run to get to the field.
Oh, nice.
So all the young, it was like the young crew of people, all the young, like the young bucks, go ahead. We'd all run down and through the tunnel, and we'd all go and sit in the dugout at Camden Yards.
Oh, cool.
And watch fireworks.
That's awesome.
And that was always really fun. So I've seen, like, you know, 20 firework shows in the dugouts because they let us through. Everybody was cleared out.
Yeah.
So you'd run down and then kind of slow up like kids, you know, when there was like, you'd see someone like, hey, wave to them. Like, all right, we're going out. And we'd go out and walk on the field and then we'd go sit in the dugout and have some really nice memories. Awesome. I haven't done that in a long time. I don't even know if they'd let us down there anymore, but it's cool.
We had a bunch of years in a row where we went out on one boat or another for 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, like, I think 5 or 6 years, maybe more in a row. So we went a couple times out on Jack's boat. You know, we would take his boat out somewhere, either like down to the Inner Harbor.
Yeah, I think I did one of those 1 year. That was fun.
Yeah, we took Charles's boat out a couple times. We took 1 year, we were, I think it was the COVID year, we took Charles's boat out to Bear Creek. And it wasn't for like a specific fireworks display, but we just went and anchored. And our friend Ted was like, yeah, you should come down, you know, anchor on this river where near where his house was. And he was like gonna have a party, and but people were hesitant, so we ended up just staying on the boat. But in that area, this river, there were probably 7 or 8 different parties going, and people were setting off like, you know, $1,000 displays.
Yeah,
so we had them all around us. It was awesome, like this 360 like awesome fireworks show all around us. That was one of the coolest nights, you know. It was cool because there were, like I said, there were a couple boats, there were a bunch of people all out and anchored, and you know, it was right during like COVID, so it must have been July, man. Was it really like 2020? I feel like that's, it must have been, you know, like, I think, I don't know, but yeah, so people were like kind of staying on their boats, but people were swimming, like, so we were kind of like interacting, but it was, you know, just that weird time, man. COVID was
you had a stick to poke them back.
Yeah, right. Too close. Kick boats
off. Underwater, he's getting close.
But yeah, no, that was fun. It was good. That was like one of the best displays I'd ever seen. And actually, when I was up in, similarly, when I was up in grad school up in New Hampshire, I was working on the Thomas Layton, which is a replica steamship that takes cruises up and down the Piscataqua River and then out into the ocean.
God bless you.
Piscataqua.
Edmunds Fitzgerald.
And so we would always go out on the 4th of July and take a, you know, a big group out on a tour. And so there were fireworks right in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which is right there on the water. And so we would go out into the river, and we would do, like, you know, people would watch the fireworks from the river. And it was crazy because everyone would always go to one side of the boat. And one of the nicknames for the Thomas Layton was the Tippy Thomas, because it was really tall and kind of narrow. So it would tip. And so everyone was like on one side of the boat, and the boat was like seriously tipping, like, you know, like 5 degrees, which is a lot, you know, like for a boat, like being on a sailboat, it was like crazy tipping. But then we went out to the mouth of the river and went out into the ocean, you know, went out maybe 3 or 4 miles out or something. And you could see all the way up and down the coast, like all the different towns, all the little coast towns, all the way up and down, all fireworks shows. It was super cool because it's like dark, you know, so behind you is the ocean. It's just like dark out, completely dark. And then you just have all these fireworks shows, like on the shore and all the lights and stuff and the little boats zipping around. But yeah, it was cool. It was a good time.
Good memories.
Yeah, man. 4th of July has been a fun one. Lots of fun stuff. And like, it's, again, it's just a good time to make memories with friends.
Yeah. Everyone's in a good mood.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, hey, you know, you just get together. It's just another excuse to get together, and then there's a climax at the end.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to
blow some stuff up. Cool.
We're going to Kate and Sean's for a pool party tomorrow.
I'm doing a pool party myself.
Yeah, nice. And then Mom and Dad's. I'm assuming Mom and Dad's, like, the river is low enough to swim in. And I mean, it hasn't been raining.
I still haven't swam in it, so.
You've never swam in a river? Mm-mm. At Mom and Dad's?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, it's so great. Maybe you know, you walk out, it's like, I don't know, what, like a foot and a half when you get in. You walk out, and slowly gets deeper and deeper until you're out to about, you know, 4 feet or so. And then there's a few spots where it's like 5 or 6 feet. If you find these little, like, dip holes and stuff, most of it's around that 4 feet.
It is a BYOB.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
Yeah, Monster. I didn't buy anything. Dad's gonna be like, I got a 6-pack of Yingling in there.
He's probably, yeah, right, exactly.
Dad, there's 40 people here. I don't know. What do you want?
We'll split it.
I'll run out. I think everything's closed.
I got some box wine.
Eggnog and box wine. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Oh, man.
A couple Blue Moons in the back, maybe. Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. There's something in there. I think there's half something in it. I think Dustin cracked it open last time. He said he didn't want it, so he put it back in. I'm not drinking that.
Get out of here. Skunky beer.
No, I went to the liquor store today. I'm actually drinking a Twisted Tea right now.
Oh, nice.
But I found a 24-pack box of Twisted Teas.
Oh, man.
I was like, yeah. I'm going to grab that, and I'll bring some.
Twisted Tea.
I'll bring some to 4th of July.
It's not very American. Get out of here with your Twisted
Yes, it is. It's tea.
It's iced tea.
Yeah.
It's nothing more American than tea.
You're damn right.
And Twisted.
It's Twisted.
I'm drinking right now. I'm drinking a what's it called? A Shock Top. But this other beer that I have sitting in front of me is a garage beer. Like it says, garage beer. And this is actually their classic lime beer, which is pretty good. So it's funny. There's a pretty good liquor store near me here in Reisterstown now. And last time I was in there, I was in their back like walk-in cooler, and they had a stack of. It was like white boxes and then lime green boxes, and they were stacked alternating one on top of the other. And it was garage beer. And it's just like garage beer regular lager and garage beer lime. I was like, garage beer? That's awesome.
Isn't that the Kelsey brothers? That might be their thing.
Garage beer. Drink garage beer on Instagram. Small batch brewed. I don't see anything about Kelsey brothers.
Garage Beer is a light lager co-owned by NFL stars Jason and Travis Kelce.
What? Oh, crazy.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah, I had no idea. Idlewild, California. Produced for Jock Beer LLC DBA Garage Beer by Garage Beer.
Yeah, I think they did it and then they took it over. I don't know.
That's cool. That's fun.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
That's great. It's and it's actually really beer. Good. Like, I really like it. It's, you know... to taste like any other lager with lime, like how we do, you know, Natty Bo with lime in it. It's nice. I was like, I wish it were a little cheaper. Like it's kind of just standard 12 pack price, you know, like $16.99, $17.99, something like that. But I wish it were cheaper so I could replace Natty Bo with garage beer. Keep it in the garage.
Well, it's like, you know, but, Natty Bo, you might as well just keep Natty Bo.
I know. Well, yeah, of course I'm not going to get rid of Natty Bo.
You can get a 30 pack for that price.
I know. I love it.
See, that's a part of the garage beer that they're missing is that price point.
Exactly.
You can stock the garage fridge because it's cheap.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you got to lower it down to, say, like a, maybe like $13.99 or $14.99.
Yeah, you know? Baby. That's it.
That's the trick. But, yeah, garage beer. So, it's good. I like it. I grabbed a 12-pack of that as well as the Shock Top. But, Nicole and I are going to go out tomorrow morning. She has off work because it's 4th of July, and she now works for a school system. So cool days off. So we'll go out tomorrow morning, get some stuff to make some things. Going to make some pasta chips.
Ooh, yeah, classic.
What are we bringing? We're bringing, I think we're doing spinach artichoke dip for mom and dad's. And something else, I forget. We're going to make a Texas caviar.
What's that?
It's like a chunky salsa.
It's just an egg salad sandwich.
What?
Eggs. Texas caviar. Get it? Eggs? Caviar's eggs?
Oh,
and Texas is just an
Texas
egg.
No, it's like...
This is chicken eggs? This is chicken roe.
Texas caviar. Chicken roe. No, it's like... what is it? It's usually like black-eyed peas and some types of beans, and then it's corn and avocado and tomato and onion.
Yeah. That's some weird shit you'd make.
It's Texas caviar, man. I've had it before. I didn't realize that's what it was. I was just like, I think I made, like a really chunky, like guacamole. You know, I was like, well, I'll just make guacamole, but I'll just dice up all the avocados instead of mashing it. I'll just put like tomatoes in and maybe put some corn or something. And someone was like, oh, you made Texas caviar. I was like, really? They were like, oh, you're just missing the beans. I was like, oh, okay. So... But yeah.
Oh, leave the beans out.
Well, it wouldn't be caviar if it wasn't for the black eyed peas. Got all those little black spots in it. Actually, a lot of people do black beans and caviar. But
nah.
You and your beans.
Ugh, like little beans. Little mini pods of sand.
Sand?
Yeah, they're not gritty. Sand,
they're squishy.
Beans are gritty.
No.
Come on.
That's like baked beans. I'm not a fan of baked beans because they're just too mushy. Like,
yeah, mushy and gritty.
Mushy, that's two different things. It can't be the same.
The bean is.
Mushy and gritty.
It is bean.
Combination of those.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus, on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
So I have some shop updates and some house updates. Also a vehicle update. So I got a good story for you. So last Tuesday, Corinne and I and her friend came down to the Orioles game, watched the Orioles.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, tough ending, but that was a good one.
Yeah, I know. That was crazy, man. It was like the three home runs in a row to come back and tie it up. And, oh, it was awesome. But yeah, and so yeah, we lost in about the 10th inning or something. But you know, that's okay. It's like when you lose that way, you're like, that's okay. That's, you know, obviously you'd rather win. But
you at least had, because we were getting spanked. So at least you had the moment of finally come back. We get something to cheer about.
Three home runs in a row. Oh, that was awesome. That's great. That was awesome. Yeah, took the lead and they tied it up and blah blah blah. But yeah, so we were driving home. And I was taking a friend home, and we dropped them off at their grandparents' house. And I noticed the car was like feeling a little weird. It felt like a little squirrely when I was like driving, you know, like a little
truck wavy. Or the Nissan,
the Rogue. Mm. So that's weird. Like, so when I drove to their friend's house, dropped them off, and I like got out and I looked at the wheel and I was like, that's, you know, like I kicked it a little bit and I noticed that it was leaning like in. The top of the wheels, and I was like, "Oh shit!" So I get under the car, and a couple of the lug nuts loose or something. You know, it's not attached right. So I pulled the hubcap off, and all the lug nuts are really tight, and nothing's moving around. I'm like kicking it, and I look underneath, and like part of the subframe is just like rusted out, and the whole wheel is just leaning. I was like, "Oh!" Fortunately, it's only like I could tell it was leaning, but it was just a little bit, you know.
Damn.
I was like, "Oh my gosh." It was like 10:30 or something, and so I was trying to decide what to do. I was like, should I just try to limp it home? Should I call a tow truck? You know, I'm like, let me call Nicole, and I'll see what her opinion is on it. So call her. She doesn't answer. I call her back again. She doesn't answer. I call her back again. She doesn't answer.
Wake up.
So she was just sleeping. Like, so I'm like, well, I guess we're limping it home. Right. So I was like, we'll just take it slow. We did. We just went the back way and got it home. But yeah, I was like, damn, that sucks. I mean, the car is only 9 years old. You know, it's a 2016. And, like, this whole, like, subframe is rusted.
Rust is a real bitch.
Man, it sucks. So, So I was like, shit. So I, you know, got home, went to bed, woke up in the morning, told Nicole, and she's like, oh shit. Like we don't want, we have enough money into the house right now. You know, like we don't have a lot of extra money to spend on random shit. You know, it's like, and so I'm like, so she goes to work and we're like thinking like, do we get a new car? You know, what's our budget for fixing this car? What's our budget for a new car? And my mother-in-law's looking for cars and Nicole's looking for cars. And so I got under there during the day and I took some better pictures of it and I called Dad and we're chatting a little bit and I'm like, what if I'll send the pictures to Jerry and call it. So it's our dad's friend who used to be a mechanic and now works at a golf course, but he still works on cars like on the side as kind of like a side hustle. So Dad was like, well, I don't think he works on like foreign cars, but you know, you might as well call him. Because I was like, well, you know, he's like, well, maybe you can call, you know, because where we are now over in
Western, and also rust is rust and frame is frame.
Right, exactly.
Can you fix this or not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so he was like, well, you could call Whitcraft and see if, like, they can give you a recommendation for a good, you know, like, shop around, da-da-da, and, like, maybe do I get it towed up to Moncton Auto and, you know, try to think about this. So I was like, well, I'll call. And so I called and talked to Jerry and I sent him some pictures and... And yeah, he looked at it and called me right back. He's like, yeah, he's like, that's your subframe. He was like, I can fix it for you. I was like, sweet, yes. So he's like, I just have to find the frame, you know. He's like, yeah, I can do it. So I was like, sweet. So then I'm like, okay, well, I'll get the car towed over to the golf course. But it's like 19 miles. And I switched from Nationwide to Allstate when we got the house to like bundle all our stuff.
Yeah.
And Allstate has like the coverage, the like, you know, roadside assistance coverage, but it covers 10 miles for towing.
10 miles.
Yeah. 10 miles. Right.
What the,
it's like enough to get you to like a shop nearby. Right. And I think Allstate was, I mean, Nationwide's like 50 or something, you know, it's like, that's pretty what much it should get you be. Anywhere you want. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't actually call Nationwide, but Nicole looked online. And so I was like, oh, what else can I do?
Next time you should, well, you should not. AAA is not bad.
Yeah, right, right.
They'll tell you like 50 miles.
Yeah, my mother-in-law has AAA, and she was like, oh, I can see if, you know, it covers children, you know, whatever, so right. It doesn't actually. So I was like, well, I'm trying to think of what else to do. I'm like, okay, well, it's this much, and I was trying to think, like, okay, are they just going to not tow us because it's more than 10 if I tell them where I want to go, or are they going to charge us, you know, everything over 10, and how's that going to work, blah, blah, blah.
Sometimes it's not so bad over...
Yeah, I was like, okay, you know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, whatever, they charge an extra $100 or something, whatever. And so I'm thinking about that, and I was like, oh, I wonder. And so I was like, I wonder how heavy the car is. So I went online, I searched up how heavy it was, and it's about 3,500 pounds or something like that, so not crazy. And so I was like, oh, I wonder if Andrew Calabresi, our buddy Andrew, I was like, I wonder what his trailer will carry. So I texted him and I kind of told him the situation and how, like, you know, where I'm trying to go is further than my insurance will cover. And he was like, oh, he's like, you're in luck. I just got a new truck, which can pull like way over 10,000 pounds. He's like, no big deal.
What'd he get?
I don't know. He didn't actually tell me what he got, but he said he had just got a new truck because he had his Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
And the trailer that he has,
Cop-mobile.
It's a plenty big trailer, right? But the Explorer had like a tongue weight of like 3,000 pounds or something like that, you know? So he was always a little hesitant to pull a ton of weight on that trailer, but the trailer, like he towed his tractor and stuff, you know, he's like, it's a car trailer.
Right.
So yeah, he was like, yeah, whatever you want, just let me know. So it's like, perfect. So like, I figured went from like, oh, and also, yeah. And so then also like I went from not knowing what it was going to be, if it was going to be like cost me multiple thousands of dollars and going to be, you know, maybe a new car, to calling Jerry. Jerry's like, I know what it is. I can fix it. To then figuring out that, you know, the insurance wasn't going to cover it. And I wasn't sure how much that was going to be. And then I reached out to Andrew and Andrew's like, I can do it for you. No problem. So it was like, whew, like all this like weight of like what possibly could have been in a matter of like multiple hours went from like a uncertain, you know, situation to kind of figure it out. And Jerry, you know, he said it's going to be, he was looking for a couple different places. One being John Brown's up near you.
Yeah.
To see if they had like, you know, a used one around. It actually turns out that Jerry's wife has a 2016 Nissan Rogue. So he's like very familiar with the car. But he's been searching.
Like, yeah. I want to buy a new truck, not a new Nissan.
Yeah. Right. But, yeah, so he's going to fix it for me, and
Oh, good.
Yeah. So he still has not gotten it. He's either still waiting to hear back from a few people or whatnot. But fortunately, I'm not working right now, I'm on summer break. So Nicole has been taking the truck to work, and I've been hanging out at home, working in the shop today, which has been awesome. So
yeah, man, that is something else.
Yeah. So it was crazy though. I was like, that's really bad. Like, I was very, very worried driving home.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I've been there too. Yeah, I've had my one truck had the wheels. Yeah, they were like same thing, kind of tilting in.
Yep.
But the control arm, something had like broken, so it was like that. I had that, but I was down at Maryland working there, University of Maryland, and then
dang,
a bunch of that crazy stuff. But
yeah,
got the new Toyota, so hopefully I don't have any issues for a while.
Yeah. So as far as house goes, my in-laws were here. We completely redid the pantry. So the pantry was like needed the most work because it was old and there was some like water damage and the ceiling was falling in and the walls were like this old metal, vinyl metal stuff that they put around. So we pulled all that off and we had the subfloor down, but everything had to be like, we weren't sure if we had to pull off all the old plaster and put up new drywall. And so I was like, well, let's just wait till my father-in-law, Dave, until he comes. Cause he's done a ton of plaster work. Cause he's lived in a bunch of houses that have had plaster over the last, whatever, 20 years, like pretty much as long as I've been with Nicole, like Dave's been working on plaster houses.
Mm.
And so I was like, let's just wait for him to come and we'll see what his opinion is.
If he's going to pay for his stay.
Yeah, right. It's like, because if he comes in and looks at it and says we got to pull down all the plaster and put up drywall, we'll know that it's like he's like, oh, there's no coming back from this.
Yeah.
So he came and he like, the ceiling was like this 1 foot square tile, like a drop ceiling tile.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we knew that would have to come down. We didn't know exactly what was going to be under that. So, but Dave kind of came in and like looked at the walls and he's like, yeah, it's not bad. It's like, there's some soft spots and we'll like make sure that those spots, if we have to pull something, we will, and we'll patch it. And then we'll just get some drywall compound and we'll smooth everything off. And so we spent the week working on that. And my mother-in-law and I like pulled down all the drop ceiling and there was plaster above that was kind of crumbly and it was coming out from the lath, but they had put in like, shim strips across the plaster to screw the drop ceiling to, just wood shims. So we just kind of like leveled that off and put in some new shims and then just put drywall up. So we put like a new drywall ceiling up and then, and then sanded and kind of picked everything and scraped everything that we could, got like everything down to as much bare plaster as possible and then patched some of that stuff. And then I went and got this, like sticky adhesive stuff that you put on when you're doing plaster over old plaster or concrete or rolled concrete, So I got that up and then he and I just kind of troweled on all this, joint compound, like a drywall compound and smoothed it out and it's ready to go. So it's ready for primer and it's all like all beautiful and nice and crispy and new. So
nice. Yeah. I love a
project. Yeah.
I love when that part finishes and you get to just roll paint over everything.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's it. Now it looks like one piece. Up until then, it's a Frankenstein,
Right, exactly. Yeah,
and there's patches. Like, there's lines and this. Mm-hmm. I can see this. And you start spackling and doing this and laying down tape and doing the edges. Yeah. And then you paint and you're like, oh, yeah, okay. This is a room. This is great. I still got that one unpainted wall in the back of my office behind me now. We got to do that. But
my in-laws kept reminding me to take pictures, which is great. They were like, get a picture. Good. You're going to want to see, you want to know this. I was like, that's awesome. True. They kept reminding me. It's great. I was like, perfect. Thank you. That was awesome. So we got that done. And I was actually like, there was a light fixture that wasn't working. So I was able to like pull that down and check the wiring and it was good wiring. So I kind of, capped it all off. So it's ready to accept like a new light fixture. There's also the door going into the pantry. There's above it, like directly in the center of the door, like 6 inches above the door frame, was an outlet, like a single outlet right there. It's like, oh, what a weird spot for an outlet. I don't know if they put a light up or what, but there was an outlet right there. So just the other day, I just unscrewed it and like pulled it off and looked at it and And I was hoping that it was actually in between the light fixture in the pantry and the light switches to the left of that door that light the kitchen and the outside. So my thought was like, okay, there should be some type of, like, it's probably in line with them since the switches are on that wall and it's going up to this outlet and then it's going to the light. And the weird thing too is that the outlet is on the same circuit as the light, and typically you don't put outlets and lights on the same circuit. They're usually like different amperage or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, that's kind of weird, but they must have wanted it for lights or something. So so I checked it, pulled it out, but unfortunately, it's like at the end of the line. It's like coming, the wire is coming out of the wall from the, you know, from the other side, like in the pantry, and going just directly right to that switch. So it's like past the light. I was like, that's annoying. So now I have to try to figure out. And Nicole's like, she's all adamant about there being an actual light switch for the light in the pantry and not like a pull light. Cause right now I could just put up, you know, a pull cord, like a walk in and pull it into a light. Yeah. Fine. But she's like, yeah, but it should be a switch. I'm like, all right, figure out how to wire that in. I have to drill holes in the wall and patch it later. And yeah. But yeah, but no, it was great. It was, we made a ton of progress and worked my butt off every day. And
there you go.
The other home update is that I finished putting up all the top rails of all the fences and painted them all the insides and outsides. So the fence is like theoretically done. You know, like, yeah, it's really nice. So I want to do a bottom rail, so like a top and a bottom all the way around. And I don't know if I have enough fence
rail. So it's just a two rail setup right now? No, you just have the top rail.
Top. Yeah. So it's just the posts and a top rail all the way around, which looks really nice. And I've seen like other people do it around wherever, like it looks fine, you know.
In Europe.
Well, it's a lot. The
it is 4th of July.
The problem is it's a lot of work.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because I got to like scrape every board. I have to wait till it's really hot and dry out. Scrape every board and then brush them all off and then paint all one side.
You know, you can buy ones that aren't painted at all.
I can if I have money for that, which I don't. I have a whole stack of fence boards, which may or may not be enough to do a whole bottom rail all the way around, but...
Can you get that planer working? Can't you just plane all this shit off?
That would be even harder.
Would it?
I don't know. Just like having to like plane the boards. I'd rather just lay them all out and scrape them with the scraper.
But it would plane the paint off.
Well, it's not that it's the boards. It's not that there's paint on them. It's that they are old because they're all they weren't painted. They're just rough.
Okay, then yeah, take all the roughness off.
That's too much. That would take too much wood off. I don't know. Here, I'll send you a picture of...
No one's going to kick through it like a karate expo. Yeah! Next one. Yeah!
Karate expo.
Hey, Dustin, I just kicked through five in a row.
Out of your fence. Here.
It is.
Here, you can tell me what you think about the top rails. So that's all the fence all the way around painted with the top.
Looks
so.
Like something... This is Denmark? What picture is this?
We have a very Scandinavian household.
Just outside of a IKEA somewhere. This is nice. It's better than it was.
Yeah, right. It's better than it was. Well, it's because like that first weekend when we put it all up, it was like we got all the fence posts up and then we got, you know, like got all the boards out and painted on like one side of them. Got all the ones that were painted up, you know, because you got to paint the one side, then you put it up because it's against metal fencing, so you can't like paint it later. And then just like, you know, ran out of steam. So
it looks like a 3 weeks. With the way it's a rectangle, it looks like some type of horse. You'd have horses training here.
Yeah, and that's what like
this is like a pen at a steeplechase.
Yeah, right. It's got that like farm look. Right. Anyway, so I was like, you know, the idea was to do a three rail fence because I was like, that's like classic, you know, farm three rail, which I kind of like. But this works, you know. Like I had the idea that a three rail fence might look too farmy for being like a backyard in historic Main Street.
No, it's not. Not farmy. That I'm not that's worried about. Classic.
It is. But, you know, like a backyard fence is usually like a white picket fence, you know, like verticals or something. Yeah. You know? So it's so like we grew up with like a three rail fence on farms. That's what we grew up with. And that's I love the aesthetic. But I was ready to do it all. But I kind of like this is kind of like a little simple, like it's nice.
What is Nicole thinking about it?
She likes it. She likes the way it is.
Well, that's what it counts.
She's also, she was like, yeah, she was like, I'm fine with waiting until we get more rails and more money and then put up more
rails. Sure. I mean, it does the job.
Yeah. Yeah. And it looks nice. And not, like, it's really nice that the whole inside's all painted now. Cause, you know, we like painted the outside and put all the rails up. But then, like, the inside was just still that raw wood.
So well, I still think it's a perfect yard for a maker movie night.
Oh, so yeah.
We can get the projector out. Or we can just get one of those inflatable screens. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, that would be sweet. It is good. Yeah, it's nice and, like, it's kind of dark on the backside. And, yeah, that'd be fun.
I'll set up a program. We'll have, like, we'll watch this old house. Like, it'll be short episodes during the, you know, twilight.
Nice. And yeah, getting ready for
something.
The move to this old house.
Home Improvement. Like, a couple episodes of that. Some
little clips of Art of Craftsmanship videos.
Yeah. We can add some Duresta stuff in there.
Speaking of Art of Craftsmanship videos, we are finished the, I have all the, everything shot for the bench build video, which is all good. Any progress on that on your end?
Well, here's the thing. So I've been shooting with Scott Wiener on the, it used to be the Crafty Wiener, but now it's the Crafty Studio channel. I reached out to him to see if he needed some help, and he does want some video help. So I've I just went the one day and we shot and we've been talking and the video came out nice. I finished that. So I did. I was.
Oh, slow. You edited for him too?
Yeah, I did edit.
Dang, for him. What the? You supposed to edit our videos? What the heck?
I know. So I had to cheat on the Art of Craftsmanship.
I'll start editing our own videos. I'll start video, filming and everything. Cut you out of the loop. You can go work with Scott.
Now you make your you can sell stuff. I need to sell myself. That's the only thing I have. I can't sell product. But no, I did that. But I already had ours edited like halfway, so that one's simple.
Yeah.
But I wanted to knock out Scott's real quick and just see. It was just an unboxing of a laser thing, a laser printer.
Cool.
But it came out, it's really nice, and I think that'll come out next week, so I will also have ours come out next week, don't worry. Right.
Nice, okay. So I've been like, now that the bench is there, I've been moving things around and unboxing and trying to figure out the space, and so I realized I really wanted to move the grinder bench, which was like at the end of the two benches, just like too close to where the vise is going to be able to use that space well, so... Today I like took down everything from the one shelving unit that was to the left of the bench, got that shelf out of there, and then unloaded the metal shelving unit and got that out of there and moved that to the left side of the bench against that wall, and then slid the grinder bench down. So now I have some space there, and then my craftsman toolbox I moved over into in front of the window, so that's like shallow. So it was really nice to move everything. And I also hung up, I don't know if you saw that on Instagram, I hung up like a drop down, you know, what's it called? Like a clamp, like a vertical clamp storage above my head in front of the bench. It was really nice. Like I was like thinking about it for a while and I was looking at the space and trying to figure out what I want to do. And I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and put it up because, you know, it's either going to work or it's not. And it's going to be, I'm not really going to know for sure until it's there, you know? Yeah. So,
I mean, it worked for the other place. So.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I love that having that first order retrievability right there. You know, I love having the clamps because often, you know, I'm doing something and I need a clamp, you know, I'm holding something in one hand and I reach up and grab the clamp or whatnot. So it's nice to have that right there. And that's if I'm going to put overhead stuff, doing it there and where the benches are already there, and I'm not really using a ton of vertical space anyway in those spots, so it's nice. So I put that up and got a bunch of clamps up and then moved everything around today and moved some stuff out and moved some stuff in, and yeah, it's great. It's feeling really good.
You're back. Well, yeah, no, it definitely. Yeah. Well, if I were to shoot with Scott more, we had talked, and this is all a little inside baseball, none of it has been agreed upon. But it would be like, you know, 1 or 2 days a week, and I would just commit to being there during a normal 9 to 5.
Oh, right.
So either way, we don't shoot then anyway.
Yeah,
so
right. Exactly.
It would, you know, my first love is of course the Art of Craftsmanship. I'm just a hired hand for anything else.
Yeah. Would you keep doing editing as well, or would you just shoot?
What? For what?
For Scott.
Yeah, I would edit too. Mm-hmm. Or at least the videos I shoot, because I I wouldn't really want anyone. I mean, if he wanted someone else to edit, fine.
Right.
But I'm shooting to edit.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I already know it shooting. In my head.
Yeah.
Okay, we need this shot. You just kind of shoot what you need.
Right.
I'm just kind of working out how it's going to come. And hey, maybe we need this. And you know, need, that's the advantage of having a person there, not just a someone to document stuff. It's someone to have a series of events in their head.
Yeah, right.
Hey, we got this. Vision. Hey, yeah, we already got this. You never said anything about this. Or, you said this once before. Can you say that again? Like, it's just that secondary person. So
nice.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. But
cool.
Yeah, at least he's close.
I'll give him that.
12,
yeah, it's nice.
10, 12 minutes.
Yeah. And, like, Scott has a good, like, vision of, like, you know, he's ambitious. You know, he's like, oh, let's do this. It'll be fun.
Yeah,
let's try this.
Yeah, he has, owns that paper mill, and he's trying to do all types of crazy stuff. So I'm interested in being there for it and being around and doing both things. And I do have free time, so I'm trying to, maximize everything, what I can offer. My few skills in life are the shooting and editing, so.
Yes, they are. Might as well utilize it. Mm-hmm. And you got a cool vice that that we want to maybe try to restore or something.
Yeah, got that vice from a guy down the road. He had a bunch of stuff. He was like, downsizing his shop, an older guy, an older couple, just like five houses down.
Oh, right on.
I wasn't going to go, but then I was just in the mood. Like, sure, I'll go. And, you know, it was actually really nice. And a nice couple. And
nice. Yeah.
We're basically neighbors. So, and the lady, I also got a couple hats because she had, like, her stuff there, you know. And he had, like, his shop. It's like, come on in. He put, like, you know, tape with prices on stuff.
Right, yeah.
And then she had crocheted, you know, or knitted hats and stuff. And and they were, like, dirt cheap. They were like $5.
Yeah.
Nice. I was like, I'll buy some. Like, I'll buy a hat for Maeve. Like, Maeve was there. Like, here, pick a hat and I'll buy one. And it was, so I picked up that too. I don't know how much that was. $10 or something.
That's great. Yeah. It's really nice. Like, I think, like, a vice is, you know, an essential. It's like the heart of a shop. You know, like that's why I did the whole reorganization, was to be able to make the right amount of room around my vice. You know, because I use it like every day. I'm in the shop. I'm using the vice. You know, mine's not actually. It's not attached to the bench. I'm still haven't attached it. So I'm like,
this one is a smaller one, but it's
right.
I mean, also, I still need to. That's also another video is redoing that whole.
Yeah, well, it's gonna have to wait till mine's done. Now that I have a whole nother shop to reorganize.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it's like and you know, having a shop established for so many years, you know, like where I'd really like worked to make that infrastructure work really well for me, and like I had a whole system how I moved around, knew everything else where everything was, and you know, like that's super frustrating, like going into my shop and not having everything out, not knowing where everything is. I'm like, man, I know I have a blah, blah, blah. You know, I know I have this thing. It's somewhere. Yeah. I wish I could find it. You know, it's like,
I will say that we should. I have the DJI here. Mm-hmm. I should give the DJI back to you, and you should shoot some of that stuff.
Right.
Because we could be putting those videos out, which are interesting videos.
Yeah, right.
And those are the ones I either don't need to be there or I can't always be there when you're
right.
You know, you have free time. Like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Right.
Just shoot it with the DJI, and we can have a couple videos, because we're bogged up right now. Everything's hitting. Yeah. We're both busy.
Yeah. Yeah, even like that. Yeah, like putting up the clamp mount, you know, like that whole hanging system's like, you know, that could have been a video. Mm-hmm. You know, I got pictures of it to put on Instagram and stuff like that, but
yeah
and the reorganization, like I did shoot a time lapse of me reorganizing the shop.
So today, we will have the at least building the workbench. We get that.
Yeah.
Hopefully that comes out sometime. Next
week. And then I got to start sourcing materials to build the smithy, because that's the other like big thing that's going to happen so I can get all that shit out of the shop.
Shitty shit out.
Get all the smithy stuff out of the shop and so I can actually reorganize that whole side. Because until then, I can't really do anything because it's just like a bunch of stuff over there.
Yeah.
It's like frustrating. I'm like antsy, you know? Like,
yeah.
We'll get back to it.
And we'll just... I had this idea today. I was driving home and thinking about the way we shoot videos and what we should do moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but maybe we do another... It's not another... It's just like a... I don't know if it's a different format.
Right.
Or something. It's just like when you have a show for so long, do you keep it the same way?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or do you do a second thing?
Right. Mix it
like, up. Like it's like Anthony Bourdain has no reservations, but then he does like the CNN show.
Right.
Or people have like This Old House, but then they also have the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a different version of the same thing. Like maybe we could try a slightly different version of the same thing.
Right, right.
I don't know what that is, but
you're going to start thinking about it.
Right. It's like eight or 9 years doing the same thing. And if our views are going down, then you go, okay, well, maybe this format, especially since we've made over 100 videos in that format.
Right, yeah.
Maybe we move on to another. It's not going to be dramatically different because it's still you and it's still me.
Right,
but maybe it takes a slightly different form.
Yeah.
With still our same, like, values of not doing a lot of parts, not doing, you know, it's... Right, right, but we figure out another style. I don't know.
Hmm.
Like, it wouldn't hurt now to try to...
Yeah.
Just like, hey, that's this version of Art of Craftsmanship, and now there's a second version.
Right.
Not that I know what that is, but it wouldn't hurt.
Right. Yeah, you know? Yeah. I don't know how that would look. Yeah, like what do you do? Like,
what do you do? Maybe there's a little bit of, I don't know. Maybe there's some of you talking it straight to the camera with a DJI,
right? Yeah,
like there's some of that, and then it's more. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe we write some new music and play some new music. It'll still be like guitar stuff, I guess, because we can't do anything else,
right?
But you know, it's like, what can we do to just do a second version of the show?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting to think about. Like, how do you branch off into something
it's another, but it is. It would be a good time. It's another building.
Right. Yeah.
I'm a little farther away, so maybe there's a little bit more of you shooting it yourself, but
right.
I would still come in, you know, 1 or 2 days a week doing this stuff, but maybe there's, I don't know. We can think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I like the idea of, you know, having something different. Like, I mean, we've tried that over the years, tried different things, you know, different types of videos and stuff. And, but yeah,
I mean, it'll still be basically the same thing. I just don't know.
Right.
What we could try a different, it's not even a different tone because you're you and I'm me. So it's not, we're not going to like ham it up.
Yeah.
It would just, I don't know.
I'm going back to, you know, like our,
you could try more of other things. Like we used to say, like when you go on trips or if we did a couple of trips, maybe we could actually do that now and, you know, go, hey, let's go camping and shoot it.
Right. Right.
Let's do this. And like, actually have the experience things because you know that's you can't replicate that
well you know when your babies are old enough to leave them behind in 10 years maybe we can start doing that.
Oh, I can still do stuff. I can do stuff.
No, I know. Yeah, no, I think of like something like Tested, you know, what do they do? You know, we always go back to that. So like they have like the full build videos and then they have the questions videos and then they have the reviews and the unboxings. And
right. There has to be more we can put out because you are always doing stuff. We can't only do, I mean, we can only do one video a month,
right.
But it just
doesn't, the channel's not growing.
Right. You know, we need like something else, yeah. Some different type of way to do it.
Right.
But I also don't want to do parts, and I'll you know, still want to be long form. Like I said, right. I'll still shoot the way I shoot. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
We're just going to keep making stuff, you know.
Right.
That's, why not? It's fun.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But also, like, maybe we, like we said before, all those things we always thought about doing.
Right, yeah.
We could try to do, like, hey, go meet people, go do a day in the life, right, like, actually do the things.
Right, yeah, do more, like, because we've done a couple, you know, it'd be fun to do some more.
Right, and we've done so many just in the shop thing, projects. Right,
yeah.
That, like, okay, we've done a bunch of axe things and knife things and bow things. Mm-hmm. Can we do them and add more to it? Can we go meet up with somebody?
Right.
Can we add something to it so it's another chapter?
Right.
Some thoughts?
Something to think about. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that would look, but yeah, I mean, I'm busy always doing stuff, so there's always stuff to do. Yeah. It's just a matter of, it's like, you know, our channel, the look and the dynamic of our channel is somewhat dependent on us being together. Right. And so that's a hurdle that's always going to be there.
Yeah.
So, and like, that's something that I think that has been important to our channel all along, you know, and that it's worked really well. But yeah, like you said, you know, there could be things where maybe in the new shop, maybe we set it up with multiple cameras, like around the shop, you know, like, so they're kind of there ready to go. So I can kind of just have them, you know, a few different spots that are shot for time lapse, and I can talk to the camera in different spots, move around, kind of like, you know, Beekman's World or something, where you're like real close up to the camera, and then you know what I mean, like he was always like talking to the camera in different spots, like he would like turn one way and there'd be a camera to his left, and then you turn the other way and there'd be a camera to his right, you know.
Yeah,
it's like maybe it's something like that where I have a few things set up and it could be, you know, kind of a hang, like move around the shop and see what's going on, and you have these, like, I don't know, something.
Yeah,
but then again, it's like that dynamic of that feeling like you're hanging out in the shop with me. That it's not just like, it's not just the looking in, seeing in, like a voyeuristic. It's like, welcome, come into the shop, hang out with me, look over my shoulder, like, let's talk about what we're doing, and, you know, like, and let me show you these little tricks and tips, and like, I think that's part of the fun too, you know. It could be a combination of those things. So
yeah, it's, I mean, it's just a second version of the same thing we do,
right? Yeah,
like I said, Anthony Bourdain's shows are still his narration and him traveling places and eating food. Like, right. It's not going to be different. It's going to be you and me and you making things,
right? Yeah,
no matter what it is.
Yeah,
it's just how, what
to we make add, it related, just how
what, we, do what it. We add to it.
Cool. Yeah, it'll be something fun to think about. All right. Well, what do we got? You got some recommendations today? Well, I can tell you mine. So my recommendation is a YouTube channel, and it's called Cowboy Kent Rawlings, or Rawlins, Rawlins. Cowboy Kent Rawlins. He's a chef. He's an older guy, probably in his, like, late 60s, early 70s, like, cowboy. Like, the show's all about, like, him. He's got a southern accent. He's, like, you know, just doing kind of some fun southern cooking. And sometimes he's out. He's almost always outside. Like, he's either out, like, in a covered kitchen, or he's, like, you know, cooking in a cast iron skillet or over a fire, and he's talking about, like, cowboys and whatever, and it's just, like, very fun and southern. He's super, like, friendly. He's got dogs around and stuff, and he's just like this fun old cowboy that's happy all the time and very, like, patriotic. And so I actually was thinking about it because he had a video that I watched today that was called something like 5 barbecue recipes to take to, you know, 4th of July parties or whatever. So it was fun. So one of those is the cowboy caviar, which I was looking at.
I think I've seen him.
Yeah. No, he's great. And I occasionally will, like, it'll pop up on my feed as I subscribe. So I'll just, you know, I'll put something on, but he's just always, like, in a good mood and doing kind of fun stuff. And it's fun because, like, you know, he's got this, like very simple ingredients mindset that you think it's like, it comes off as just like very naive almost sometimes, but then he'll like put something in or he'll talk about something or a flavor that you're like, oh, he's an actual like cook, you know, he's like he's like a Southern cowboy dude, but you know, he'll like use, you know, like avocado oil, you know, because it adds more of a blah, 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 or he'll like, right. He'll put a little bit of whatever, you know, like some balsamic vinegar in because it's going to caramelize and the sugars, you know, you can tell that he's like actually like thinking about how flavors come together and stuff. And it's not just like, let me get this old cowboy and just show me the beans and the bacon and the whatever, you know, that go right. into it. So he's got influences. Like you can tell he's got some like French influences and some like Southern influences, some Hispanic influences, and you know, it's good. So he's fun to watch. So take cowboy your, Kent Rollins.
Take your duck fat. And
yeah, exactly. Huh? Right. Yeah.
Huh?
Right. He's like, this is the good stuff because the duck fat's extra. It's got all the blah, blah, blahs in it that will bind it together. And you're like, oh, okay. He's like, and then you got to put a tin can on the stove and heat that up. You're like, oh, wait, he is still cowboy.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so I listened to the Meat Eater podcast, mm-hmm. and they had a recent episode. They're in, or Steve is in Africa right now.
Oh, cool.
Hunting water buffalo or something crazy like that. But he did like, it was funny, the last podcast they had, he was like upset that they couldn't. They do some lives. Mm-hmm. But he was upset. Like they're like, oh, you can't talk about this and you can't talk about that. What you're doing this? He's like, I don't want to be held back by all these things. I can't. Like this is what we're doing right now.
Right. Yeah. Like, whether yeah, or not it's coming out of right,
but
or not,
we got like, this and we got this yeah. and these sponsors and that. We can't talk about this. He's like, I want to be able to like talk about what I'm doing at the time and not keep it right. hidden.
Yeah.
So this, he was like, we're going to do these things from Africa, like these live. Reports, and it was like we were saying about the 4th of July thing. There was like crickets right. in the background.
Oh, nice.
You could tell he was like in the bush. It was cool. Yeah. And he's like talking about, hey, we went here today. And we're so they're doing like, I guess it's going to be a series nice. Where Steve's in Africa. So it's kind of cool him like talking, like he wants to do them. Like, we're going to put him out almost live. So I'm thinking like he probably does it that day or that night.
Right
yeah. now. And he's out there in Africa. So that's kind of cool.
Nice.
And another thing I sent you guys, which I still don't know, I guess it's not a recommendation. It's an interesting thing I kind of wanted to talk to you about. That cooler, that mm-hmm. Ninja cooler I sent you
yeah,
guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
crazy.
It's so interesting because I don't know why other people haven't thought of that. But it's just a cooler with drawers on the bottom that lock.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they transfer whatever ice you have in it, you know, the coolness transfers yeah, into those right. drawers. So it must just be maybe a thin layer on the bottom.
Right.
To yeah. where anything cool just, it keeps it all under 40 degrees. I was like, oh, that's so genius.
That's crazy. Yeah, I know. I saw that. I was like, that's pretty awesome.
Isn't that you awesome?
It's so like you have dry storage.
Right. You have yeah. dry storage drawers on the bottom. So you can yeah. keep all your meats and cheeses and maybe like you got sausages or burger patties or something yeah, you want right. to take. Yeah. Put them all in there and then everything else. Because that's always kind of the battle is you either have a basket
yeah.
or maybe you keep your ice in the bag so it doesn't, right. you know, mingle yeah, with exactly. your food. But if See, you could just put everything yeah. in those two drawers, all your food,
yeah,
that'd be nice.
Yeah.
So look at the, I think it's, what's it called? The Frost.
Ninja. The Ninja.
Something. You just look up Ninja Coolers and they're the only ones doing those drawers right now. But I feel like that's going to be the next thing because, like, why not?
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Compared to, and I watched a bunch of videos on it, it's, mm-hmm. it does just as well as like a Yeti full blown,
nice,
like luxury cooler. So,
right. Yeah.
And those Yetis for that size, they go for like $400, which is crazy.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, if you can get one for $175 or $150, it's still expensive, but it's not. Like, it's a luxury cooler, but it's still half what a Yeti is.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly.
So, I don't know. I might still get one.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it would be cool, though, to have those
even,
drawers.
Even the off-brand ones are still $200, you know? Like
right. You still, yeah, the really nice ones the, now. Yeah, so, it's right. So maybe, but it's kind of cool. So if you're looking at coolers, look at that one. If you're doing like camping, if you're just going and having beers or having something at your house, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But it is like the perfect 4 or 5 day camping cooler where you can put your food in the bottom. That's really nice.
So since you did 2 recommendations, I have another one. and this is a preemptive recommendations. I haven't actually watched this yet, but the newest...
We don't use them and we don't watch them, but we recommend them.
Exactly. We don't know about this cooler and we don't know about...
Might be like, trash.
Good luck. Yeah. Now there's another season of the Long Way series.
Oh, I did. I've watched it.
Long Way Home.
Yeah, I watched it. It's good.
Oh, did you? Yeah, nice. So it's going from Ewan McGregor's place in Scotland to Charlie Borman's house and place in England, and saying taking scenic routes on cranky old bikes.
Yeah, so. what they do is, Ewan has a 70s California police chopper, motorcycle.
Yeah.
And Charlie has a really nice refabricated, like, I don't know what it is, but it's like done really well, you know, looks new. And then they go, it's funny, it's like going home, but they go all through the Nordic countries and then all around Europe. It's like this, you know, all the European countries within like 500 miles, they do this long trip around.
Nice.
It's really awesome. Cool. It's, the first seasons were better because they were, maybe it's just like they were younger and wilder.
Right. Yeah.
Now there's a couple older guys, and there's one thing I noticed. You get no nightlife.
Okay.
So I feel like they kind of did that on purpose. Like, hey, we'll shoot all the traveling, but maybe anything we do at night, we just don't show. Which but it's still good.
Yeah,
they just travel on their bikes and I love that show.
Nice. Really. Yeah, good. I just saw it pop up the other day. I was like, oh, cool.
Oh,
I talked to my mother-in-law. I was like, have you ever seen any of the Long Ways here? She's like, oh, I love those. They're so good.
Yeah, no, it's really well done. And I think the last one just came out, so I might watch that.
Nice.
It's good stuff. Yeah, good recommendation.
To watch. Thank you. Yeah, I figured you probably know about it, but yeah, I was like, oh, it's cool.
Yeah, I love those shows.
Sweet. All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. We will be back next week, but then the following week after that is camping week. So we'll see what we do. Maybe we'll like record something camping, do a little live record. I don't know. We talked about doing that last year and it never happened. So we'll see. So we'll see you guys all next week. But make sure you keep your eye out, because hopefully we'll get this building the new bench in the new shop video up, and I will be posting some stuff to Instagram, so you can check out our channel on YouTube, The Art of Craftsmanship, and look for the new videos there, and then head over to Instagram and you can check out what I'm doing in the shop on a day-to-day basis at The Art of Craftsmanship. You can see what Devin's doing. You should post some stuff about the crafty studio on your Instagram, but you can check out Devin's stuff at The Art of Camera Guy. And if you want to help us out further, help us get some more cameras to put up in the shop so we can set up a new Beekman's World version of The Art of Craftsmanship. I wonder who will get that reference. Probably everybody. But like fisheye lenses, like have to wear costumes and stuff. So you can head over to patreon.com/The Art of Craftsmanship and help us out there. And the way we make money is we make some money through YouTube off of ad sponsorships, and we make some money through Patreon and some selling some stuff. So any support, if you want to support the channel, obviously watching videos is good, but you know, supporting us through Patreon is really directly helping out the channel a little bit more intimately. So if you feel so inspired, you can head over there and do that. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for hanging in with us. We'll try to not be consistently every 2 weeks and be a little bit more consistent, but we'll see. The summertime, you never know. There's vacations and there's stuff happening.
Yeah, and there's 4th of July. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Yeah, happy 4th of July. All right, everybody. Thank you guys all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.